Eric Church.
Still Eric Church. This is a lot of, maybe I'll listen to this on the way home now. Welcome back, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and my friend Joe Zepecki. Last half hour of the show, and I had sent, well, this was actually sent to me yesterday by a dear friend, Louis Friedland, who is a recently retired professor of journalism at UW-Madison, and who was actually quoted in this article, which is maybe why he knew it was happening. But there is a New York Times article that was published yesterday with this headline: on conservative radio, misleading message is clear. Democrats cheat. Election fraud claims from 2020 are widespread on talk radio, contributing to the belief that the midterm results cannot be trusted. And so the investigation of this basically found that the mentions of Democrats cheating and similar ideas to that were raised more than 5,000 times on syndicated radio shows and local broadcasts this year alone. And yes, WISN is on there. I couldn't tell who. I don't listen to that station enough to know who it is. But I think, Brian, do we have the clip that was featured in the New York Times article?
Just give me 1 second. All right. Have it right here.
I mean, it was either O'Donnell or Belling, right?
Or Jay Weber, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because it's a guy. It's not Vicky McKenna. But it was, I think it's one of the three. And so, okay.
If the legislature is refusing to take on somebody and confirm somebody in this case.
Well.
No, Brian can't find it. Anyways.
Tune in next week.
It was interesting because I thought, you know, one of the points that I thought was in of why it's allowed to fester on radio, as and we say this right now as we're on radio, is when it's on cable news or social media or even local news, you know, there's a video broadcast of it that is easier to capture and easier to even know that it happened so that someone can go out and fact check it.
Yeah.
You know, how many times has John Oliver done an entire episode just tearing down everything Tucker Carlson's ever said, right? Or The Daily Show or whatever. And, but so often with the radio show hosts, they say something and they have to fill a lot of time, as I'm quickly learning, right? You know, three hours a day is like, you have to just talk to the microphone and keep talking. And there's not a ton of accountability of what you're saying if it's true. And then you get into the echo chamber of you're talking to the people who are listening to you because likely they already agree with you. And then those are the people that are calling in who say that how much they agree with you. And so then you're giving your audience what they want. And it's just this cycle, and Wisconsin is not immune to that, right? Which is why...
Not only not immune to it, one of the worst in the country, and from the other standpoint, one of the best places in the country for conservative talk radio. You know, I don't think it's what it used to be, but I think if you look particularly at sort of the turn of the 21st century, you know, the heyday of Charlie Sykes, the talk radio had an enormous amount of power. And really up through 2016, I mean, it was conservative talk radio in Wisconsin, remember, that delivered
Ted Cruz's
victory in the Republican primary for president.
Because that was Charlie Sykes' guy.
Right. Well, all of them. None of the conservative talk radio hosts in Wisconsin were on the Trump train until he became the nominee. In fact, the Stop Trump train had its sort of last big stand in Wisconsin thanks to conservative talk radio, where they lifted Ted Cruz to victory. And now they're all talking about, fascinating.
Why do you think Charlie Sykes was the only one to get off that train?
Well,
because now he's on the Bulwark. We were just saying, we listen to his podcast a lot, and he's on has his own media company that he has started from. He does it from Mequon.
Well, our shared person we admire and listen to, Tim Miller, has a book out. I've read it. You're listening to it. He's got 9 archetypes or different reasons for why people went along with Trump. Clearly, conservative talk radio hosts in Wisconsin fall into some of them. But I think at the end of the day, it's a business decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, a thing I often tell people is there is nothing more powerful in the world than the human mind. It can convince itself of just about anything.
Speaking of which, we just got a caller that lectured me about the in the break about the voting irregularities and how weird the ones who are delusional, because there was a suitcase underneath the table in Georgia at midnight.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So, and once...
And I have that clip for you if you need it. And
once you make the decision to believe something, the ability of the mind to reinforce that belief, it works a lot better that way than it does accepting inputs to challenge that belief and evolve that thinking. And I'm also reading a book about the brains right now. It's called The Thousand Brains. It's, again, my nerd is showing.
I was going to say, Jay-Z with the book recommendations.
Yeah. So the point being, conservative talk radio, bad. The Shah, good. No, it's not quite that simple. You should listen to different points of view and different perspectives. Why I'm so excited that you have been platformed for 2 hours a day and this growing radio network exists is because it gives people a choice, an option to listen to something else. And I'll take, you know, 7 days a week, I'll take somebody who says, I'm going to listen a little bit to, you know, conservative talk radio and a little bit to the Shahs of the world. Give me that person before, nope, I only want to live in the bubble on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
Well, I think that's even more important in Wisconsin because we are such a closely divided electorate that it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before of when Iommi called and said, Democrats just have to play harder. It's, I don't know, maybe I'm just a Pollyanna, but it's, I know where I stand on a lot of things. I'm certainly left of center, if not very left of center, depending on the topic. But I also know that I now have chosen to live in a state where there's a lot of people who don't agree with me. And to have a functioning society, we need more moderation of at least compromise where no one's 100% happy, but at least we get something done. And so to coexist with people who don't agree with you is reality.
Yeah.
And to just only think it's my way or no way...
Well, it's actually even worse than that. Like, we need to be able to disagree more agreeably. But the other, like, among the scariest things that is happening in our political discourse, in my view, right, as bad as all of this talk about, this nonsense about elections being stolen, like, come on, that's all false. It didn't happen. Even more dangerous than that are these ad hominem attacks from the right that would have you believe that Democrats want to destroy this country. I don't know how we come back from that, right? Like there's a thread to follow. Like, if you actually believe that Democrats want to destroy America, number one, you're wrong. Number two, if you believe that, you can rationalize a lot of really bad behavior. And so let me say this really clearly. I don't think Republicans want to destroy America, and I know that Democrats don't want to. So if like that should be the price of entry, if you want to have, you know, a platform or a position of public trust, you have to be able to understand that even though you see the world a little bit differently than the person across the table from you, it doesn't mean that you're enemies. You can be political opponents without being enemies. We have got to find a way to get back to that, or we are cooked, whether or not, you know, the select committee comes up with a set of recommendations to figure out how January 6th could never happen again, right? Like, there's some other things going on here that we got to address. And that's one of them, is the tone and tenor of the rhetoric. And I know I am not easy on conservatives. I try to be very tough on Trump Republicans because I think they are very dangerous. And I've never suggested any of them are un-American or don't love this country. And when they do, and would say that about people like me or people of my ilk, I don't know how we come back from that. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Well, I think it's also the, how do you even go about changing that, right? Is this a media thing? Is this an echo chamber thing? Is this who our leaders are? Is this an education thing? Because we're clearly here. I see it, you know, I see it all the time anecdotally in my comment section, right? Like, I have plenty of people who said exactly what you just said, is that all Republicans are bad.
No, they're not, and
I don't agree with that either, but you know, the sweeping generalizations of the other side all the time that are not helpful, that lack any kind of like nuance at all. But how do you, I'm not going to fight with them in the comments and say, well, not all of them, because there's only 45 characters that I can work with on TikTok.
Yeah. So what I try to do is remind people that there's always been really, really heated discourse in this country. And, you know, we say, oh, it's so bad and it's worse. No, it's not. This country has always been defined by its political differences, from the days of the founding and the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists to, you know, an actual civil war, you know, fought in the middle of the 19th century to, you know, the New Deal, when a group of financiers and Wall Street, you know, money types in New York planned a march on Washington to execute a citizen's arrest of President Roosevelt for the changes he was making as part of the New Deal, to Harry Truman in 1948 running against a do-nothing Congress. And let me assure you, he used language harsher than do-nothing Congress. So, and then another spasm of political violence in the 60s. And yeah. This is a part of who we are. I think the reason it may feel different really comes down to the information environment in which we live. And so what we have to do is be smarter about just acknowledging and understanding that information environment, realizing it's okay to put down the phone, to turn off, not the radio. You got to keep the radio on.
Right? Keep this show
right.
on.
Keep turn the social media off. Right. Don't take the bait every time. Sometimes you don't have to answer everything in the heat of the moment. Just take a step back. Take a minute. We've been here before. We'll get through this, too.
And that raises something that we don't have time to get into before the break. But that is an interesting balance, because I think on one hand, we talk about needing people to stay more informed. And I know one of the main pillars of everything I've tried to do with As Goes Wisconsin is all right, how do you make the super complicated less so? How do you make the super boring more interesting? Because it's stuff that's important. And it's important that people understand the ramifications of some of the very serious, but sometimes nonsensical things that are happening in government that are not as fun as the Kardashians to watch or to pay attention to. But in the same vein, have an information diet that you're not so over inundated that you're the world is ending.
I think that's a great word for it is diet. Eat a healthier diet, not just of the physical foods for your body. Have a healthier information diet, right? So if you're just mainlining Twitter all day, you're doing it wrong, right? If you're just mainlining MSNBC all day, you're probably doing it wrong. If you are listening to a couple of podcasts or radio shows, some from people who you tend to, you know, be aligned with and some who you don't. If you tend to read newspapers, and I mean actual newspapers, not, you know, Facebook posts.
So here's a good question. Who do you listen to get your balance of conservatives or center or right?
I listen to The Bulwark, and with voices ranging from, you know, Bill Kristol and Charlie Sykes to others that they have on. I try to read, you know, books from authors who, you know, largely history more than current events. I don't get into the stuff of you know.
You didn't read Glenn Beck's book?
No, or the Bill O'Reilly books. That's a little too much. It's a mix, right? And sometimes we watch CNN and sometimes we watch MSNBC and sometimes we listen to 620 and sometimes we listen to Pod Save America when we're in the car. You have to mix it up and get those different perspectives. That's how I believe you get to a place where your information diet is a little healthier and hopefully you have a little bit better perspective on the world and can contribute and add your voice. And that's what I try to do. I've certainly appreciated doing it today. I know we're not quite there.
We only got 1 second left. This just flew by. And so doesn't leave a ton of time to talk about the last topic, but I wanted to, since we've talked a lot about the Wisconsin Supreme Court today, I think they might have gotten this one right. That's where I stand on a ruling that came down this morning about Crystal Kizer and her right to use a defense in her murdering of her trafficker. So it's a little dark to end the show, but I think there's interesting questions around who gets to use self-defense. All right, when we come back, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Joe Zepecki.
Love this country.